Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Don't just set expectations for them. What can I do to be a better leader? It's a lot easier to fix yourself than to fix somebody else.
Despite what people think and what people try.
Yeah. I mean, we try to fix other people, but you know, generally the best way to fix someone else is to fix yourself first.
Is it recoverable? When should I cut my losses? How long do I persist? And actually, how do I stop this sort of thing happening? Learn to spend your energy saving the ones that are worth saving, and letting the ones go that, you know, basically need to be freed up and become someone else's treasured A-class employee.
Yeah, well, you promote them to customer, so.
I love that. That's very sharp.
Do you like that? All right. Yeah.
Cockamamie excuses, is that a word?
Cockamamie, yeah.
Cockamamie? Well, there we go.
When you have those action points, this is the real magic, is actually action them, and quick. Get onto them. Give them that pathway as soon as possible. Really follow through on what they wanted from you. If you got to come halfway and they got to come halfway, you should be racing your way to halfway.
So it can be you, it can be them, and it can be their situation. Ever had an employee who just seems to have lost motivation and doesn't care much anymore? Now, it's frustrating. We often let it drag on because we're scared to front it or we don't know how to deal with it. But we know the employee's attitude is dragging the whole team down. Tune into this episode where we outline how to know when an employee has gone lame and what you need to do about it to protect your team culture.
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast, where we'll help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button and let's get started. To the podcast.
Welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here with Phil Smith.
G'day, mate.
You doing well?
Always.
All right. Employees who have gone lame. Let's dig into it, because this is very frustrating if you own a business.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe you've even had someone like this, maybe someone good, and they just didn't seem, you know, to be that into it anymore, that engaged. And you wonder if you're just imagining it, or, you know, am I being too hard on them, or am I being unreasonable? And maybe you let it go for a week or two and you just really hope things get better. But I suppose what you're wondering is, when is enough enough?
Yes, and you've probably had the conversation in your own head about it with yourself several times before you sort of pluck up the courage to do anything about it. Often for months, actually, and that's not ideal. But you know, at some stage you have to address it, because it does start affecting not only you but the whole team. You know, people notice, and if you let it go, it obviously rubs off, and that's a big problem, because you don't want rotten apples that can rot the whole barrel out. So I guess the thing today was, we really want to dig into how you deal with this, how you identify it. Is it recoverable? You know, sometimes it's recoverable, sometimes it's not. When should I cut my losses? And how long do I persist? And actually, how do I stop this sort of thing happening as well? Because, you know, team challenges are incredibly frustrating. They're kind of like, they're quite personal. They involve confrontation. They're right up there with not having enough cash in your business as the biggest headaches that I find business owners experience. So it's important to really get a handle on how to deal with this situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you have a story to kick us off.
I do have a story. It's quite philosophical, this story. It's about Friedrich Nietzsche, which was he was a philosopher back in the 19th century, quite famous. He was a little bit weird, to be fair, as the story demonstrates. And in January 1889, he was in Turin in Italy, and he was walking through the piazza, and he witnessed a very distressing scene. He saw a coachman mercilessly whipping a horse, and the horse had actually collapsed under its heavy load. And Nietzsche was overwhelmed with guilt and grief and anguish and sympathy for this horse. He rushed forward and he threw his arms around the horse's neck, and he himself collapsed weeping and wailing as well. And it was kind of an emotional breakdown for him.
It was scenes,
and he is quite weird, and in fact he did lose kind of a grip on reality from this point on in his life, and he was in a state of mental incapacitation for a long time. And I guess the story is kind of a bit weird, but it does relate, because it's very easy to flog a dead horse in your business. And not only is the horse dead and it's not really performing very well, but it does, as in this story, it affects everyone. You know, it affects you, typically the person doing the whipping, but all the other people around you as well, because it does rub off when people are not performing and they kind of just lost interest. So, yeah, don't want to be whipping a dead horse.
Absolutely not. And I think if we don't understand, you know, that this whole sort of phenomenon and that, you know, that whole thing about your employees checking out mentally, if we don't understand it and get a head around it, we run into some big issues.
Yeah, well, the first thing is that your productivity takes a dive. People just don't put the effort in, and work doesn't get done as quickly. Also, what happens is the care factor goes down, so the quality of the work goes down. So you'll find that your jobs, you know, they push out. There's mistakes. Things don't get ordered. Corners are cut. You've got rework. You've got poor callback. You've got frustrated clients because people just not really caring. And for me, that's bad. That really hits you in the pocket and drives your frustration levels up. But also, what happens is, you know, this horse that's gone lame, if you like. They work with other people in your business, and so those toxic attitudes actually spread. And I think you've said it before: nothing ruins a good employee than watching you tolerate a bad one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's the thing that happens here. And so your good employees can leave, or they start to downregulate their work ethics because they're like, well, why should I if this guy's been a clown?
It's like, yeah.
Why should I put in the effort? And then what happens at a business level? Your reputation takes a hit, and you just waste a lot of time and energy trying to save people sometimes. And look, sometimes they can be saved and there's legitimate reasons for why they've lost motivation and they seem to have gone lame. And sometimes it's just time to move on and you've got to, you know when to make those decisions. So it's very important to understand how this works.
Yeah, for sure. Whereas on the other hand, if we are picking up those signals the employees are sending out, we're noticing, you know, that they're checking out mentally or that they're not keen anymore. If we notice that stuff, we have some upsides.
Well, we do. You can do something about it, and that allows you to maintain your productivity or perhaps improve it. You know, they might be better. Your quality will remain high. You keep your mistakes down. You don't have all those callbacks, the rework, the business reputation damage, and your culture stays strong. That, for me, is very important, and so you'll retain your A players. You might even attract other good people because the cultures are really tight, and you actually then learn to spend your energy saving the ones that are worth saving and letting the ones go that, you know, basically need to be freed up and become someone else's treasured A-class employee and let them drag their business.
Yeah, yeah. Down. Well, you promote them to customer. So, hey, look.
I love that. That's very sharp.
Do you like that? All right.
Yeah. You've practiced that one.
You can bank that one, mate.
How long did that take to come up with?
Oh, I've been saying that for years.
Righto. Here we go.
Anyway, so what do we look for, Tone? Where do we start?
Well, I think there's a bunch of things that I would look for if people have lost motivation. And first one is I think they stop taking initiative. So when they go into bare minimum mode, they just do barely enough to get by. And that's basically all. That's a sign that the care factor is going down or the energy is going down. The next one is negative attitudes. So, you know, misery loves company for sure. And so when they start complaining, they start whining, and this is another one. When they start gossiping and finding other friends in the business to share their frustrations with. Like I said, misery loves company, and so they kind of have their little chats and moans about what's going on, and you'll find the other employees who are often, you know, not frustrated, they'll sort of start feeding this stuff back to you, and you've really got to listen for that. That's a potential cancer in your business that can really rot it out. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, that one always starts off small too, and
it does.
I think it's important to notice that early. Like, it might start off where John and Mike, you know, they used to sit with everybody at Smoko and everyone's having, you know, a bit of a laugh and, you know, a few yarns, you know, eating their lunch together or what have you. And next thing you know, John and Mike are sitting off to the side and having a quiet chat, and that seems to happen every lunch, and that chat seems to be more and more concerned, furrowed brows and just looking like it's not going very well. And then, you know, little things start popping up. You know, Tim says, hey, John and Mike, you had some pretty negative things to say the other day. And it starts off small. It's always going to grow. If you don't stamp that out quick, that's going to fester, you know, and those little chats get worse and worse. So if you can notice them early, you can often hit it off at the pass. So.
Yeah, well, gossip loves a vacuum. You know, if there's nothing done, it just expands to fill that space. Another one is just quality of work and mistakes. Like, you know, there's just more callbacks, more rework, more issues with the work that person is doing. That's a sure sign that things are not going well. Another one, very common, is frequently late and or sick.
Yeah.
They max out all their leave and try and go over. They ask for extra leave. Sometimes they ask for paid leave in advance. This is a one that I really find frustrating. If people come to you with a medical certificate before you've asked it, that's often a bit of a sign that they are quite entitled and really trying to just don't really care anymore, and they're just trying to, you know, get some freebies.
Well, they're trying to validate their behavior, really.
Trying to validate their behavior.
I think another big warning sign, it actually comes from the negative attitude you spoke about, but really shows up with the frequently late and sick, really shows up with the, you know, quantity of mistakes and everything, is the sarcastic comment when confronted.
Yes.
So
that's a good
think
one.
This is big, because often you'll be like, hey, mate, like, you know, you're late today. What's going on? And it's not even a formal conversation or anything. You're just like, hey, what happened? And, you know, people that are an engaged employee who's, you know, their head's in the game, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, man, this happened and that happened. And, you know, things happen in real life. Whereas the disengaged employee, the one where you should be noticing the warning sign, is like, oh, well, yeah, what are you going to do? Just those little dejected comments where they would have answered it differently in the past. And often, you know, those are the ones where, you know, as you said earlier, you second guess yourself. You're like, am I imagining this? Am I being unreasonable? Probably not. If you're noticing that, it probably is something to notice. And so when you start hearing those little comments, those little sarcastic digs, there is definitely something to that. They're unhappy about something, and you should talk about it sooner rather than later. I think it's really important.
Yeah, and defensiveness is a good one in responses, and also cockamamie excuses. Is that a word?
Cockamamie, yeah.
Cockamamie? Well, there we go.
Yeah, another little word for you today.
Yeah. It's like the most unlikely things that kind of seem believable, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
What's an example?
How many times your dog can die in 1 week?
I know, yeah. How many times you've got to take the dog to the vet, or your 7 grandfathers have died, or this sort of thing is just like, okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of believable, but you're like, this just happens. It's too many excuses. Like, nobody has that much bad luck.
No. And I mean, like, hey, look, not to discount, people can have bad luck, but you know there's a line, right? Like, you can tell when someone's just having a little bit too much bad luck. It just doesn't seem realistic. It's probably not. You're not imagining it. They are definitely pushing the boundary.
Just checking out. And so a couple of other things I find that you can really look out for, talking about other opportunities. And often they might even do that with you, which is weird. That just blows my mind when people do that with an employer. But they probably do it with other people in the business as well. And so you might hear that through the grapevine. And so that's something to look out for.
Jeff got approached by one of our competitors offering more money, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was thinking of, you know, I don't know, traveling, or I'm thinking of retraining, or I'm thinking of doing this job, or looking at those job ads online. What those sort of things are like, you know, just little tells to notice. And the last one is isolating socially, so not getting involved socially anymore, so not coming to team events, not coming to beers on Friday. Just taking themselves out, not getting involved with the team anymore. That sort of says that they're just not really happy. They don't care. They're kind of like,
absolutely.
They've resigned emotionally.
Yeah,
which is, you know, not something you want.
Yep, 100%. And I think the type of person who calls in sick on a team fun day, again, it's possible, but if it happens more than once, I'm like, no, they're avoiding the team because they know that they're not going to stay. It's very, very classic. So. Yeah. I think we have some good stuff to look for here.
Yeah, so the thing is, okay, you've figured out that they are checking out. You've thought about those things, and like, trust your gut on this. This is really important. You're probably not imagining it. You kind of got to trust your gut. So that's cool. The next thing is, well, are they really worth saving? And that's a fair question, because some are and some aren't.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you don't want to flog that dead horse. No. If you're not able to save somebody and you figure that out early, it's really quite difficult, because you could spend a lot of time and energy when it is a lost cause. It is a, you know, flogging their dead horse. So it's not ideal. So how do we know someone is worth saving?
Well, that's a good question. And it takes some judgment. I think the first thing is you look at their history. And so if they have a solid history with you and they have some runs on the board and they are quality and you see some potential there, I think you've got to give those people some benefit of the doubt, because past behavior is a pretty good predictor of future behavior. And so if they've got runs on the board, for me, I'm like, okay, I need to really dig deep here and understand what's actually going on. And so that's the first thing. And this isn't always the case, but I typically find if someone's been with you for 2 or 3 years and they've been really solid, that's a good indicator. If they've been with you for 3 to 6 months and they've been solid, that's often where people come off the rails.
Yeah, just remember those first few months are a honeymoon period, and everybody works hard, everybody's engaged, everybody's enthusiastic. So if that's the only evidence you have of them being that way, it might not be, you know, much to go off. But like you said, 2-3 years plus of them being a great employee, and then suddenly they're not, I would give them some benefit of the doubt. Try to figure out what happened or what went wrong.
What's going on? And often that's down to your leadership. You've got to really look at, or have I been a great leader? And that can sometimes play a part in this as well, because it's not always them. It can be you.
Yeah.
And that's really important. We need to dig into that. So, you know, they may be worth saving and they're not performing because actually you're not doing a great job yourself. Yeah. And so we need to talk about that. And then it's, well, if you think they are worth saving, it's like, what are the personal issues that are going on there? You know, if you're doing a reasonable job as a leader, they're okay, then we need to look at what's going on in their life. And that'll probably give us the answer as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, anyone who's going through some serious personal issues in their personal life is most likely to turn up to work and not be their best self. I mean, if you've got problems at home, it could be in your, you know, significant relationship with your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Or if you're having a lot of trouble with the kids, I mean, again, a lot of people when they have young kids, it's going to be really, really tough. You know, they might be sleep deprived. They might be going through some difficult stages. Teenage kids, again, a lot of real difficult stuff going on. I mean, there's a lot of difficulty that can come, you know, from home pressures that can really affect you at work. And it might not necessarily be that they're disengaged. They've just got their head elsewhere and they're a bit of a mess. Yeah. It could be health issues. It could be mental health. And I think you really need to make sure that it's not anything like that.
Yeah, like you said, relationship issues are a huge one. If you're having trouble at home, that will basically rip your insides out and make it hard for you to work.
Yeah.
And so that's important. But I want to just talk about the leadership thing a bit, because, you know, if they're a 3 to 6 month employee and they go lame, you know, often they are just not an A player. But if they are that 2-year, 3-year, and then they really go off the boil, often it is either personal issues or it's your leadership. Because they've been a good person, they've worked really hard, and then they've become disillusioned with the culture and how things are going. So you might need to look at things like, you know, do they know what's expected of them? Have they got the right equipment to do their job? Are they giving opportunities to do good work? Do they like the people they're working with?
Yeah.
You know, are you giving them some praise? Are you, you know, showing some interest in their development? Are you, you know, listening to their opinions and letting them make a contribution? You know, have they got opportunities to learn and grow? Have they got brightness of future? All these things are important. Are there good communications happening? Are they getting feedback on their work? All of that stuff is probably important. You need to factor in.
And actually, at that 2 or 3 year mark, some of the stuff's going to pop up a lot more.
It does.
Because in the first wee while, if you haven't been really taught too much about opportunities to grow or develop, or, you know, to build into different roles, or you have, you know, stretch in terms of what you're able to be paid, or basically what your work life is going to look like, if that doesn't happen in the first year or two, you're like, yeah, well, I'm new. Yeah, like that makes sense. Whereas when you got 2-3 years under your belt, you've done good work, you've showed up every day, you've given it your all, and you're still not being shown any brightness of future, that's where you start to get resentful and think, you know what, I've busted my ass for this boss, and, you know, I've really given my all for this company, and sure, I've been paid well and it's been cool, but like, what's next? Like, no one seems to care about what's next for me, and you can become very disillusioned. And so I think the thing is you can get away with not nailing a lot of that stuff
for a period
at the start.
Time.
But what happens is, you know, for some people it might be a year, some might be two, some people might take 5 years, but every single employee will get to a stage where they are going to want a brighter future. And if you've not been providing that or giving them a pathway or creating that brightness of future, there will become a disillusionment, if not an all-out resentment. And so you've really got to have a good hard look in the mirror and ask yourself, it's like, I've probably been expecting them to be a better and better and better employee, but have I been becoming a better and better and better leader? Or am I the same guy I was on day one? Because if I am, then it's likely this sits with me. And maybe I'm the problem.
That's huge. So it can be you. It can be them. And it can be their situation. And so that's how you figure out. You go through those 3 years to figure out if they are actually savable. Obviously, if it's them and they're just not a good sort, it's time to move on. If it's you, you can beg for forgiveness and try and be better. And if it's their personal situation, then you can really work with that with them. And so that's how you go about the save, as we call it.
Yeah, yeah. And if we get into the save, I think just the first one I want to cover is the personal issues. And the reason is because this one is a bit different than the other two. So if it's personal issues in terms of like maybe they're having mental health issues, they're suffering from anxiety or depression or any of these types of things, firstly, you need to understand is that you are most likely unqualified to help with this, and that you can totally be there as, you know, a sounding board, as a listening ear. You can support them and you can do what you can. But if they're not going to get proper help with this, you're definitely not going to be able to help them with this. Like, this is an entire profession. And and you probably don't have the skill set. So I the biggest thing you can do if they're having those kinds of issues, those mental health issues, is to you know, encourage them to get proper help. I think you just make that very clear, is that's not probably something you can fix. Other health issues, maybe they're sick or they have, you know, some kind of disease or illness or the likes. Again, if you're not a doctor, I would probably recommend to them that they get proper help with this. Again, if their health is not doing very well, if you're not a health expert, it's again, the personal issues, it's not your wheelhouse. If they're having relationship issues, again, it's like I would be pushing them to try to get some counseling or the likes, maybe some couples counseling. There are definitely some areas where I wouldn't advise that you try to help. Be a listening ear, be supportive, and encourage them to get the proper help, because it's probably outside of your control, your influence, and definitely your skill set. So I think that's the first one. Next one is figuring out if it's them or if it's you. Now, like we said earlier, you got to figure out if it's you first. And if you haven't done anything differently or changed or anything in the last wee while, good chance it could be you. And I think I would always start with myself, because it's a lot easier to fix yourself than to fix somebody else. So start with the low-hanging fruit.
Despite what people think and what people try.
Yeah. I mean, we try to fix other people, but, you know, generally the best way to fix someone else is to fix yourself first. So I think have a good hard look in the mirror. And if you're struggling to, you know, to see the truth, you can get objective opinions, like run staff surveys. A lot of the stuff we talked about with those leadership qualities, you can run a survey like Gallup or, you know, the Q12 survey. You can do this, heaps and heaps of employee engagement and satisfaction surveys that you can run. And it'll give you some really good feedback. Obviously, you can ask your staff directly, how do you think I'm going in this area, that area? They might struggle to tell you.
Especially if you're not doing a good job.
Yeah, especially. And especially if you have a history of not taking that very well, which some of us do. So again, like you can get objective information here that you can actually go off, and that can be really helpful. But definitely starting with you is important. Is your leadership improving? If it's not, start with that first. Next thing I think is that it's really, really important that whenever you notice any of these signs, you act really quickly. Anything that you don't act on quickly is going to fester. So it really doesn't matter any of the signs we talked about today. All of them get worse over time. All of them.
And they multiply.
Yeah. I remember saying where it's like, if you don't deal with your problems, they tend to go down to the basement and lift weights. It's a little bit like that with employee issues is, you know, any kind of disengagement, resentment. If you don't deal with it quickly, it just gets worse and it spreads, not just around that person, but around the whole team. And then you got a bigger deal to deal with. So get onto it quick. I think the first thing is to speak to them about it. Have an honest conversation. And sometimes that could be, you know, as simple as resetting expectations with them, just reminding them what you expect and how you'd like things to go. If you're getting onto something early, just having a chat about resetting expectations is often enough. The hard part is that when those problems go to the basement to lift weights, they also get blown out of proportion, and a lot of detail and context gets added by the person that doesn't actually exist. They start assuming a lot of intention behind all the things you did, and they create this big, huge backstory that they start buying into because they're telling it to themselves so constantly that could very well not be true. Really great point made in the past, which is that we judge each other completely off of the actions that we take, and we judge ourselves completely off of the intentions we had when we took those actions, but we don't judge other people on their intentions. We actually make their intentions up. We don't know them. And so the really, really hard thing with this is that happens, and the backstory gets richer and richer the longer it lasts. So I think if you can get onto it early, you can reset expectations, but either way, have that conversation. When you have that conversation, you know, asking open-ended questions is really big. Don't just tell them everything that they're doing wrong. Ask them how do they think they're going.
Be curious is really important here. You know, be curious and allow them to feedback to you what they're feeling. And like you said, don't pressure them.
Yeah, exactly. You want to get them talking, and you want to ask encouraging questions. We call them minimal encouragers, just to basically get them to keep elaborating and keep telling you everything that's on their mind. So, for example, you say, hey, look, mate, I might be completely off base here, but I've just noticed that lately things have been a bit different with us, and it feels like, you know, maybe you're not your best self, or you're not your normal self. Am I imagining this? What's going on? Again, this is quite an open-ended question, but it can be quite confronting, and they could get defensive. So you want to have that curious tone. At that point, what they're going to do is they're going to say, no, I'm fine. And you say, really? Pause. At that point, they're going to have to keep talking, right? Then they're going to say more stuff, and you say, hey, tell me more about that. And what else? You know, how's that affecting you? You know, what else is going to lead, you know, from this if we don't make any change? You know, again, how long has that been going on for? Just keep asking those same questions and get them to build and build and build on that story so that you can get all the information and really resist the urge to jump in quick. You're going to need them to do all the talking. Once you get down right down to that root cause and you know what's actually going on in the problem, there's a good chance that there is some form of resentment. And what you're really looking for is, you know, you've hit the root cause, you know, you've hit the bottom of the hill when they've identified something that they are unhappy about that's external to themselves. But usually, you know, you've got to the root of it when they've also started to take some accountability themselves. So they're not just saying this person did this or you did that or, you know, I feel like you suck. But they also start to say, and I feel like I'm not being my best self, or I feel like I have not played that well. That's when you know you're getting somewhere. Now, when you get to the end of it, then you reset expectations again. But here's the key is don't just set expectations for them. It's not about here's all the stuff I want you to do differently. It's about, hey, how do you think you could act differently? Or what do you think you could do differently moving forward so that, you know, we can get the best out of your situation? And what can I do to be a better leader? How can I help you to, you know, act differently in this situation? Where am I falling short and what can I change? Now, this does two things. Firstly, is it opens up that as an acceptable conversation piece. So you might get even more information at that point about what they're unhappy about, because you've made it okay to talk about the fact that maybe you're not living up to your end of the bargain. Right. But second thing is that you get some really good action points, things that you can follow through on following this conversation. And when you have those action points, this is the real magic, is actually action them and quick. Get onto them. If they ask for, you know, more training, get onto that training. If they ask for more praise, start praising them today. You know, if they ask for development opportunity, cool. So like give them that pathway as soon as possible. Really follow through on what they wanted from you with, you know, without waiting to see if they follow through on their end of the bargain. So if you got to come halfway and they got to come halfway, you should be racing your way to halfway, hoping they meet you there. And that way you prove that you mean what you say, that you do care, and basically it allows them to do the same. Now, at that point, if they don't come halfway, I'm like, wrong person, you can probably move on. But at least you know in your heart of hearts, you did everything you could.
And that, I think that's important. That's leadership right there. And if it's not savable, which, you know, sometimes this is not savable, and this is the hard work of leadership, is making those calls. And no one's, there's no, you know, message that pops up on your email that says, you got to get rid of this person now. It's not that simple. Mm. But there's a couple of useful rules of thumb that I find. I find it, two cracks at helping them, if it doesn't come right, then that's enough to say, look, it's time. Yeah. It's time for them to move on. Or if they can't see the problem. The people who really struggle, who kind of lost it, lost motivation, aren't going to work out. They can't actually understand the problem that you're trying to talk to them about. They just don't get the problem. And if someone doesn't understand the problem, it's very, very difficult for them to solve it. So they might not actually see any issue with arriving 10 minutes late. It's like, well, we've still got the job done, but you're late. But what's the problem? If they don't see a problem with it, you've got a problem. It's just a different set of values and expectations that are very difficult to align. So if they can't understand the issue and you're trying to explain to them the issue, that's it. That's the key. If you're trying to explain it to them and they don't seem to get it and you're getting frustrated that they don't understand what you're getting at, that's a problem. That's probably time to say, this is not salvageable. We need to move on. And you move on quickly.
Yeah, 100%. I think lastly, prevention is the best cure.
Yeah,
right?
Prevention is better than a cure. And so, look, some of this is a hiring problem. So those people in the first 3 to 6 months, that is a hiring problem. And there will have been flags in the process when you hired them, or perhaps your hiring process was not as thorough. Perhaps it was just a chat. You didn't do, you know, strong reference checking. You didn't do behavioral interviews. You didn't do any personality profiling or whatever it is. You just weren't thorough. Mm. And so these flags didn't come up. So the hiring process is critical. Hiring for values, hiring for, you know, behavior in the past that suits what you want in the future. And then it's all the normal stuff of leadership, which is having a great culture, having your values defined, having good things like good appraisals, good communication rhythms, all that sort of stuff. Having 20-minute coaching sessions with each one of your employees. You know, each person has a session a week so that they know they're valued, and there's a mechanism for giving feedback and them giving feedback and talking about performance and any challenges they have that you can nip in the bud. That stuff is critical. So you do that stuff, and that prevents people falling off it's effectively you're providing great leadership, and you're taking out one of the things, which is your lack of leadership, which sees the good people go lame after a period of, you know, 2 or 3 years, which they will. Everyone has an emotional bank account, and if you're always taking out of it and you bankrupt that account, that's when they go lame. Like any relationship, really.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that sometimes you do have to make those withdrawals, but you know, a lot of the time we forget to make deposits.
Yeah, you will make withdrawals. That's life. But the deposits are critical, and your leadership, your proactive leadership, is the deposits that you put in there.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I think we've covered some good stuff, so should we end this plane?
Let's do it. Ignoring employees who appear to have lost interest and not dealing with the situation proactively will cause issues for your business. Now, whether that employee is just having a tough time or they've gone lame, you need to show strong leadership and deal with the situation quickly and proactively. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Ever feel like you should be able to step back and let other people help you run your business, but you're afraid if you do that, things won't be under control? Now, as a result, you procrastinate employing managers, or you micromanage them so much that they get frustrated and you're still working just as hard. Tune into this episode where we outline one powerful strategy that will ensure you can employ good managers, keep control of your business, and create more time and freedom for yourself.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.